for a message this morning, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 for a text verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." I've titled the message this morning, "Children of Light." We look at this setting here, Paul writing to these people of Thessalonica. He says in verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." He is calling them brethren. If we look at the setting where these people, these brethren were from, if we look at Acts chapter 17, the first 13 verses, it gives us a little glimpse of what was going on there at Thessalonica, previously probably to this letter that Paul had written to them. In Acts 17, they had come there in verse 1, they had come to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul liked to go into the synagogues. And on the Sabbath day, he would reason with them out of the scriptures. And here he was showing them that Jesus is Christ. It's the Christ, the Messiah, the one that they had been looking for. And it says in verse 4, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." But he says in verse 5, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Satan and Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also," making quite an uproar. And when he says, "Whom Jason hath received, these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews," just like he had done at Thessalonica. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few." But back to Thessalonica now. "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." So this is the setting that these people, these brethren, came out of. And it reminds me of the setting in our Sunday school lesson where it talks about the people who had left the covenant of God. They were swayed and persuaded by the flatteries of this king. But it says that the people that knew God, he says they were strong. And they did exploits, which means they used all the resources they had. And of course, this was in a good way. We may think of the word exploiting as in a negative sense, which would be true if we would use the resources, evil resources that we would have in a wrong way. We would use them for the evil. But they were using the resources that they had in a right way. And it says they were strong. And that another definition of the word exploits is a daring deed. So they were doing daring deeds. They were strong. They were, as it says on the front of our bulletin, no longer a slave to fear. They knew they were children of God. They knew they were God's people, that they belonged to God, and therefore they were strong to stand against this wicked king. So here were people that were in a city where there were men, there were people who were wicked and were doing wicked things that were, or Paul was calling them brethren. So obviously they were believers. They were people that believed in Jesus Christ, and Paul was calling them brethren. He says, "You have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." So how did he know that they would know that? It was because he knew they were brethren. He knew that they had received the Holy Spirit and that they were being taught by the Holy Spirit. He says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So he was correctly identifying them as believers in Christ, and that they had moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are no longer children of darkness. You are now children of light, he is saying. And he said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And I believe he's talking about a spiritual sleep here. He says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And, you know, this is, I think, referring to in the physical sense. You know, when we sleep, we go to bed at night. I mean, there may be many people today who have a different schedule, and they have what they call the graveyard shift, where they go into work at night and then they sleep during the day. How many of you children like to take a nap during the day? You know, it's one thing to have to go to, I saw one hand going back there, a big child, but I think as adults we enjoy our naps during the day. But the children, for the most part, you resist taking a nap during the day, don't you? It's one thing to go to bed at night in the evening, go to bed and sleep during the night, you're tired. But during the day, a lot of times you resist that nap. And that's what Paul's saying here, is that the normal time that we sleep is during the night. And he says, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And he's talking about, you know, drinking alcohol in excess. In those days, it would have been wine. You know, they didn't often do that maybe during the day, but they would do that in the evening, in the night. And they would get drunk and sleep off, or try to put a mask over the pain of the things they were feeling, and probably wake up in the morning with a hangover, feeling worse than ever. He says, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober. You know, let's not be drunk, but let's be in our right mind. Let's know what we're doing. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I appreciate that devotion that Austin shared this morning concerning giving thanks in everything. I had to think of the book Rising Above Your Circumstances. I think it's the author, Bob George, if I have that correct. And I think Norman had related that story of how a guy was, Bob asked him, well, how are you doing? He said, well, pretty good under the circumstances. And Bob asked him, well, what are you doing under there? You know, so we don't have to be brought down by our circumstances, but we can give thanks in everything with Jesus Christ. He says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So I would like to look at 2 points this morning, this message. Number one is, how do we become children of light? And number two, I want to look at some differences between children of light and children of darkness. The first thing we notice here, we think of how did these people in Thessalonica become children of light? Paul says that, back in Acts, in verse 7, in verse 4 of chapter 17, it says that they believed. So I believe that was the first step to becoming children of light, was to believe. To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. In Matthew 4:16, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." So in order to become children of light, obviously we would have been in darkness to start with. And in order to become children of light, we would have to see light, first of all. And I'd like to look at John chapter 1, where it talks about Jesus. In verse 1 of John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So this is a situation where it is saying the children of darkness, sitting in darkness, as it said in Matthew, them which sat in darkness, and them which sat in the region and shadow of death, they were sitting there, the light shone into them, but the darkness didn't understand it. It was like the darkness didn't go away. The darkness stayed there. You know, when we turn a light on, if it would be dark in here and we would shine this, you would be able to see what's on that table with this little light that I have. And I wish I had a big light, but I don't have like a big spotlight. We could maybe draw the blinds and turn off the lights. We could, you know, talk about light. But the light didn't understand. I mean, the darkness didn't understand the light that shone into it. It's like the darkness didn't go away. Now, when we shine a light in the darkness leaves to some degree. You go out at night when it's pitch black on maybe a foggy evening and your headlights shine, you can see to at least some degree. The darkness doesn't all understand that there's light and doesn't all go away, but at least you can see as far as your lights shine. And the darkness understands that this is light and it has to leave. But I think what John is saying here is that the darkness was in the minds and the hearts of these people, and they didn't understand when this light shone in, when the Messiah came, when Jesus came and he shone light to them, they didn't understand that this was the actual light, the true light that they wanted, that they needed. They didn't understand that. They rejected it. They resisted it because they thought, well, like they said in Luke, he said when Jesus talked to them about the scripture of Isaiah, that he said, "This day is this prophecy, this scripture is fulfilled." And they started reasoning and saying, "Well, isn't this Joseph's son? Don't we know who his mother and his dad and his brothers and sisters are?" And they went out to push him off over a cliff. They didn't understand. They didn't comprehend that God was actually giving them light through Jesus Christ, through one of them. He was the Messiah. It says in verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light." Now that's with a capital L, which is Jesus Christ, "that all men through him might believe. He was not," John is saying, "that I wasn't the light, but I was sent to bear witness of that light. I wasn't the Messiah, but I was sent to bear witness. I was a forerunner of Jesus Christ." He says that was the true light. Jesus Christ is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The sad thing is, there are people who receive the light shines into them, but they don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. But it lights every man that cometh into the world. Every person has an opportunity to say, "Yes, I accept this light. I receive this light. I want to move into the kingdom of light. I want to be part of that." It says he was in the world, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world didn't know him. They didn't understand it. They didn't grasp it. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Yeah, they tried to push him off over the cliff. They tried to get rid of him. They crucified him. They said, "Away with him." They said, "His blood be on us and our children." We don't want any part of him. But it says, but as many as did receive, as many as comprehended and received that light, it says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the reason for that glory was because he was of God. He was God, come in the flesh. So, in order to become children of light, when the light shines in, we must receive that light. We must understand, we must comprehend. And the Spirit of God teaches us, the Spirit of God speaks to us, he draws us. As Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. The Spirit of God draws us, and when we come and we take that by faith, we receive that by faith, and we say, yes, this is the light, this is the Messiah. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. You know, how can that be? And Jesus, we'll just flip over to John 3. Jesus said, verily, verily, in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's not talking about a natural birth. He's talking about a spiritual birth where God comes down and he does a work in your heart, the work of regeneration, and he puts a part of himself in you. That is what must happen in order for us to become children of light. It must be by faith that we receive that. And we must recognize that there is a universal need for light. You know, we cannot expect to move into the kingdom of light if we say that we don't have any need of light. We must acknowledge that we are in darkness, that we do need light, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because unless we recognize that, we cannot take that first step of salvation when the light shines in. When the light shines in and we say we have no sin, we're going to say, well, I don't have sin, I don't need light. And we'll be just like those others who didn't understand it, didn't comprehend it, didn't receive it. And we won't receive the power to become a child of God when we say we don't need light. The condemnation is that the light is available, but we reject it because, as it says in later on in John chapter 3 here, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So imagine yourself, this room is completely pitch dark, and you are a clear bowl sitting right here on this table, and within that bowl is all of your sin. All the ugly things you have ever done. And then someone turns on a light and he shines into that bowl. And everyone can see all that sin. Now, do you want to receive that? The human nature does not. We don't want that exposed. We want that bowl to be dark, don't we? We want it to be painted black so nobody can see in it. We want a lid on it, a black lid, where nobody can see it. But unless we take off the lid, we take off the paint, and we expose that to the light, we receive that light and we say, yes, I want this light. I receive this light. I bring my life, all my sin, and I expose it to the light. And it's like it says in Timothy, that those sins go beforehand to judgment. And they're removed as far as the east is from the west. God remembers them no more. But when we want to keep that lid, we want to keep that paint, we want to keep that lid, we don't want that light to shine in, then those sins will follow after. They will be there as a testimony against us that we rejected the light. On judgment day, our sins will be there. That is the condemnation. And in essence, what we are saying when we reject the light and we want our sin, instead, we are saying that, God, I reject your gift. I reject Jesus Christ. And that is the condemnation that condemns us to hell. And we go to hell not just by accident, but by choice. That's how we get to hell. We go by choice. There are many obstacles that God puts in our way that we must choose to go over or around to get to hell. Because God doesn't just let you go. without a test, without putting blockages in your way. He doesn't just let you go by accident, but he makes you choose. It's either heaven or hell. It's either darkness or light. Your choice. Paul was talking to King Agrippa in Acts 26, and he was telling King Agrippa about his Damascus Road experience, and he was saying how that Jesus was telling him these words. He said, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So it's like we take off the lid, we take off the paint, and we allow the light to shine into the bowl. We receive that, then the sins are forgiven. They are removed, and God remembers them no more. You know, we can never live a life good enough to make ourselves children of light. It's not possible. It's only possible by faith, as it says in Ephesians, not of works that any man should boast, but it is of faith. By grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. It is God's salvation gift through Jesus Christ. Jesus took the curse for us. He became the curse. Without the gate, he finished the work of salvation. And we must, in order to become children of light, we must accept that gift and that salvation, that finished work by faith, and move forward in that, abiding in Jesus. Confess it with our mouth. Choose to believe it and confess it with our mouth, and our lives will become a living testimony of Jesus Christ as he is lived out in us. Okay, now I'd like to look at some differences between children of light and children of darkness. In Thessalonians, the Thessalonians in Acts verse 17, chapter 17 verse 4, it says, as Paul said, they believed, or as the scripture there tells us, they believed, but it says something else. It says that they then consorted with Paul and Silas. They consorted with Paul and Silas, which means they associated with them. And that word means to associate with someone, typically in spite of disapproval from others. Now think about, we were talking about the setting that these brethren came out of. Paul called them brethren. He called them children of light because they were believers. They came out of a setting where their fellow Jews, fellow people, Thessalonians in the city, were very, very strong against Jesus Christ. They were greatly in disapproval of what they were doing. But these people, in spite of that opposition, they believed and they associated with Paul and Silas, the very ones that these other people were saying have turned the world upside down. And the very ones they were saying that they are teaching us of another king that isn't Caesar, that there's another king besides Caesar, which would be treason. You know, I don't know, would that have been punishable by death? To say there's another king besides Caesar? I'm not sure. But they chose to not only have faith in Jesus, but they chose to live their lives accordingly. They moved out. And I believe that is a difference between children of light and children of darkness. They chose to do the right thing in spite of opposition, instead of the wrong thing in spite of opposition. In Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now back to this bowl again. When it's all painted black and a black lid on top, and what we think is light in there is actually darkness. How dark is it in there? I mean, you couldn't get it much darker. They talk about as dark as a stack of black cats. Well, it would be you know, just pitch black. No light whatsoever. And that's what he is saying here. If thy eye is evil, thy whole body is going to be full of darkness. In John 3, we talked about the condemnation that the light is coming to the world. In verse 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Where he's talking about how God sent, God's loved the world so that he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he said that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, it's the difference between wanting that glass bowl to be covered or wanting it to be open and exposed and letting the light shine in. So the difference between the children of light and darkness, when we have darkness here, if we read this passage, we see condemnation. We see evil deeds. We see that we hate light, and we see that we love darkness. Those are the marks of the children of darkness. Quite the opposite with the children of light. When we look at the children of light in these verses, we see no condemnation. We see deeds of God. We see a love of light, and we see a hate of darkness. You know, polar opposites. The children of light and the children of darkness. Like when the eye is single, when the eye is only focused on Jesus Christ, on the light, the children of light, then the whole body is full of light, and we have nothing to hide. We have nothing to prove. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have no reputation to uphold. It's all about Christ. It's not about us. But when it's all about darkness, the eye is evil, the whole thing is about darkness, about keeping these things in here, because we don't want people to see what's going in here. We don't want those deeds to be made manifest. We don't want people to see the ugly things in our hearts. Let's look at another scripture in 1 John chapter 1. We'll notice some differences there as well. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Again, it's talking about, just like John 1 did, of the word, which is Jesus Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. They actually saw Jesus Christ. They saw the eternal life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So here we see, when there's darkness, when we have the children of darkness in these script, in these verses here, in this chapter, we see that we have lies. And we even try to make God out to be a liar, which we cannot. You cannot turn God, Jesus Christ, as truth. You cannot turn him into a lie. And the Bible says he cannot lie. We see deceit here. We deceive ourselves, it says. The truth is not in us. We are in dishonesty. We are living a lie when we are children of light. But when we have children of light, when we are walking in the light, he says, we have fellowship one with another. And the children of darkness don't have any fellowship either. Missed that point. We have cleansing from all of our sin when we are children of light. We have forgiveness. The bowl is emptied out, and it is filled with good things. And we have righteousness. versus children of darkness have unrighteousness. So now we might ask the question, is it possible to have a combination of light and darkness? You know, when we look at children of light and children of darkness, we are talking about polar opposite. We are talking about children of light who are born again, who are believers, versus children of darkness. We are talking about people who are not born again, who are not believers, who have rejected the light and are living in carnality. You know, so we're either going to be born again or we're not born again. There is no mixing of that. There is no middle road. But to the question, is it possible to have a combination of light and darkness within? And now I'm talking about a born-again person. I believe it is. You know, if we could function in the new man only, and our eye would be totally single, as that scripture in Matthew says, where we would only be focused, the new man, as the Bible says, is created in true righteousness and holiness, and we would only be focused on the light, on Jesus Christ. The whole body is full of light. Every area of our life and our whole being is opened to light. That's the new man. And if we could function in just the new man, then, yeah, there would only be light within us. But we have the old man to contend with as long as we are here. And there are things sometimes that we don't want to give up, or maybe we're afraid to. You know, when the light shines in into that bowl, it brings a certain amount of fear of things that we don't want exposed. Maybe we just can't find the grace to bring those things under the light. You know, it doesn't mean that we're not saved, we're born again. But it means we're not as sanctified as we should be. We're functioning in the old man from time to time. Now, remember, when the whole body is evil, and the eye is evil and the whole body is full of darkness, that's when we're functioning only in the old man. We don't have a new man to function in. But this is a combination where sometimes we function in the old man, and we have areas of our lives that have light, and we have areas of our lives that don't have light, that for whatever reason we have not been able to bring to the light. You know, there may be pain in those areas, pain that we attempt to hide. We paste a smile on, and we say, I'm fine. But we're not. We may become good enough at blocking the pain to where we actually feel like receive ourselves into thinking that we are fine. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it talks about having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And in Ephesians 4, 27, it talks about not giving place to the devil. You know, and when we do that, when we have areas of our lives that we're not willing or able, or what, for whatever reason, we haven't brought it out, we're afraid to, or we're not willing to allow the light to shine in and to dispel the darkness, to open that up and put that out there, we keep that. We don't want to renounce it, or we just can't bring ourselves to renounce it. We're actually giving place to the devil within us. But this morning, as children of God, as born-again believers, there is hope, there is victory. We are, if we are born again, we are children of light. We don't have to go down in defeat. We are on God's side. As the Bible says, Jesus says he came to destroy the works of the devil. It says that Satan is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. He is the conqueror. He is the counselor. He is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And he can restore. He can rebuild. But we must take that step, reach out to Jesus, take that first step, and allow him to come into those areas of darkness. if we want to have any real victory and not go down in defeat. You know, when we take that first step with the light that Jesus gives us, a light shines in, and we take that first step towards him, Jesus, in his compassion and his mercy, you know, he comes to meet you. He meets you there, and he will carry you through. He will fight the battle for you. But we must give him that bowl. We must open up those areas of our life, and it may be one at a time. You know, maybe we can't handle all of them at once. And Jesus knows that. He understands that. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, we have no one to fear. We can be like those people in Acts, where in the middle of evil, in the middle of wickedness, they chose to believe. They chose to associate with God's people, with the children of God. They chose to associate with the kingdom of light in the middle of a kingdom of darkness. They chose to stand out, just like the people in our Sunday school lesson. They chose to be strong. They chose to believe God. And they chose to even not just be on the defense, but take the offense and do daring deeds. That, my friend, is a mark of a child of light, a children of light, that believe, that are strong, that take the battle forward, not just in defense, but in offense, of moving forward. Because we have no one to fear, because Jesus is greater than anything the devil can throw at us. You know, the Lord not only becomes our light, but also our salvation when we come to Jesus in faith. And he talks about that here, that in 1 Thessalonians 5, that we should take the helmet, for an helmet, the hope of salvation in verse 8. He says, God hasn't appointed us to wrath. God doesn't want us to go to hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. That's why God made it so hard for us to go to hell. We must choose if we want to go there. But he says, take for an helmet the hope of salvation. In Hebrews 6, verse 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. The hope, the promise of God, where God says, you have hope that if you trust in me, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that I will make a way for you. I will provide for you. I will receive you. You shall be my sons and daughters. I will move you from the kingdom of darkness into my marvelous light, he says. And that is a promise that God gives to us as his children, as children of light. Another mark of the children of light is, as Austin was sharing this morning, is giving thanks. Children of light are thankful people who thank God for his goodness, for his mercy, and for his grace. And children of light are a light to others. As he says in Matthew 5, verse 16, ye are the light of the world. You know, when it's all darkness within, we can't be a light when it's darkness. But when we have that bowl and it's clear, there's no cover, there's no pain, and the light of Jesus shines in and that light shines out, that is a mark of the children of light. So this morning, who do we want to associate with? Do we want to be associated with the children of light or the children of darkness? Do we want to associate, consort with the children of light in spite of the disapproval of others? You know, and we have had it relatively easy in making decision for Christ. You know, we were actually applauded when we did that. But there are others who would be disowned. Think of a Jewish family or a Muslim family. Being a child in that family, and you would know that if you make a decision for Christ, you choose to move over into the and be a child of light, that you would be disowned from your family as if you had never been born. Now that makes us think. Would we do that? God is able. Let's kneel to pray at this time.